now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. After 7 consecutive years of growth in domestic new vehicle sales, manufacturers collectively reported a decline of nearly 2% in sales in 2017. Last year, 17.2 million new cars and light trucks were sold in America. The consensus is that new vehicle sales will fall further in 2018, and the drop will be even larger. Edmunds.com, an auto information website, predicts that just 16.8 million light vehicles will be sold this year. As indicated by writer Neil Boudet, there are a number of factors at work. Exceptionally low interest rates have begun to turn higher. Improved vehicle quality is allowing Americans to keep their cars longer. During the recession, many consumers and businesses delayed purchasing new vehicles. As the economy improved, many rushed out to replace the older vehicles that they had been driving, which drove sales higher year after year. But that cycle has ended, with the market having been increasingly saturated. According to Edmunds, there are about 1.26 vehicles on the road for every licensed driver. Last year's sales decline was partially mitigated by rising discounts and other incentives, which now equal nearly 12% of sticker prices. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Many American households increased their aggregate spending in 2017. Data indicate that the U.S. household savings rate fell to 2.9% in November, the lowest savings rate recorded since 2007. With consumer confidence at a 17-year high, it's not surprising that more households are increasing consumption. In a recent consumer confidence report, only 15% of those surveyed indicated that jobs were hard to get, a 16-year low. As reported by Bloomberg, there are signs that a growing number of households have taken on too much debt, with more Americans falling behind on their auto loans and credit card payments. As indicated by Moody's, auto loan delinquencies have risen above pre-crisis levels to around 2.3%. Credit card charge-offs recently increased to nearly 4%. While these delinquency and charge-off rates are nowhere near levels attained during the recession, they suggest that many households are back on the path to living beyond their means. The Mortgage Bankers Association reported that during the third quarter, Federal Housing Administration delinquency spiked above 9%, registering the highest quarterly increase in the survey's history. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There are many positive signs emerging from data characterizing economic activity in America. However, among the thorns in an otherwise rosy situation is an expanding U.S. trade deficit. According to the U.S. Commerce Department, America's trade gap with the balance of the world rose to a nearly six-year high in November, driven by surging imports as confident Americans stepped up purchases of cell phones and a variety of household items. Specifically, the trade deficit widened 3.2% in November from a month earlier to nearly $51 billion, the highest deficit since January of 2012. As indicated by writers Josh Mitchell and Eric Morath, both exports and imports have been rising, but imports have been growing more quickly. Between January and November of last year, U.S. exports grew 5.6%, while imports expanded by nearly 7%. The trade deficit widened by nearly 12% over that period. Busier international trade flows reflect strengthening economies both in the U.S. and abroad. Major global regions are participating in a synchronized economic recovery for the first time in roughly a decade. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. There are many positive signs emerging from data characterizing economic activity in America. However, among the thorns in an otherwise rosy situation is an expanding U.S. trade deficit. According to the U.S. Commerce Department, America's trade gap with the balance of the world rose to a nearly six-year high in November, driven by surging imports as confident Americans stepped up purchases of cell phones and a variety of household items. Specifically, the trade deficit widened 3.2% in November from a month earlier to nearly $51 billion, the highest deficit since January of 2012. As indicated by writers Josh Mitchell and Eric Morath, both exports and imports have been rising, but imports have been growing more quickly. Between January and November of last year, U.S. exports grew 5.6%, while imports expanded by nearly 7%. The trade deficit widened by nearly 12% over that period. Busier international trade flows reflect strengthening economies both in the U.S. and abroad. Major global regions are participating in a synchronized economic recovery for the first time in roughly a decade. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. One of the many questions that continues to linger regarding the recent overhaul of the U.S. tax code is its impact on America's national debt. The debt of the U.S. government already represents one of the world's largest debt burdens. As indicated by writer Josh Sumbrun, as of 2017, the general government gross debt of the U.S. stood at a bit more than 108% of gross domestic product. This according to estimates from the International Monetary Fund. Only four large countries have more debt relative to the size of their economies. These four nations are Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Japan. Among these, Japan is clearly the most indebted. Japan's government carries a debt equivalent to more than 240% of its GDP. Japan continues to struggle to tackle its debt in part because its economy has been stagnant for so long. Sporadic attempts to raise revenue via higher taxes have tended to knock the Japanese economy back into recession. On the other hand, tax cuts haven't triggered enough growth to ease debt burdens. Greece's debt burden stands at around 180% of GDP, Italy's at 133%, and Portugal's at 126%. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu.